of our January series called 2020. And last week we kicked off our series and we started looking at what? Last week, what did we look at? We were talking about vision. We'll be talking about vision all week. But last week we talked about specifically a vision for one very specific important thing. I see CH's hand in the back. Absolutely. So we started with 2020 vision, or having 2020 vision of ourselves. And we made the point that until we can see a good, God-centered, Christ-centered vision of ourselves, we're going to have a hard time moving into any other area of our lives and get it operating correctly. Amen? So this week, we want to continue moving forward, and we want to, as since we talked last week about how to see ourselves through the lens of Jesus Christ and His grace, this week we want to talk about another important topic, our work. Our work. Has anybody ever seen the movie? It's a Disney Pixar movie called The Incredibles. Anybody seen The Incredibles? All right. I'm gonna give you just a little quick synopsis. In the movie The Incredibles, and it's a really good, I see a lot of kids' movies, as you might imagine. In The Incredibles, your main cast of characters is this family, The Incredibles. And the main character is Mr. Incredible. And he's this big, muscular, you know, he's about this wide in the shoulders, you know, just big, strong. And they are former superheroes. They would go around saving people and saving the day. They are former superheroes. But through various things that happened, they were forced to give up being superheroes and live a normal life. And you see Mr. Incredible, and he's working in the insurance industry, sitting in a cubicle, sitting in his desk like this, because he's too big for the cube. And he's sitting like this, typing and typing. And as you watch the movie, you can just feel the energy at that point in the movie, his sense of depression and his lack of self-worth. I mean, it's almost tangible. It's like you could reach out and touch just the depression and the sadness that's hanging over this guy, because in his mind, he has so much else that he could be doing. And here I am, stuck in this cube, typing. Now, while none of us have ever been former superheroes, I think that at some level, this is a feeling that all of us can relate to at some point or another. No matter how much we may like our job, and whether or not it's an office job, we have all at some point in time had that moment in time where we just looked at it like, oh, what am I doing? Hopefully those moments are few and far between, but they happen, don't they? They happen from time to time. And when we look at the fact that most, the average adult now, spends more time at work than they do with their family. Now that's a fact. The average adult, and I put myself in this category, I spend more time day to day with the people that I work with than I do with my wife and my children. Now that's a fact. So obviously, our job is important. Having a Christ-centered view of our work is an important thing. Amen? So today, we're going to look at Scripture and ground ourselves in some truth from the Word of God so that we can have a healthy spiritual vision. We can have 20/20 vision surrounding our work. After seeing last week that the only reason we have life and salvation is because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we're now going to turn that lens to that which occupies most of our time. And that's our job, amen? So how do we go about having a spiritual view of our work? The first thing that we have to understand is this. God intends for us to be working. God intends for us to be working. I heard somebody one time and he made a statement and said, "There is nothing in your life that will work until you do." He said, "There is nothing in your life that will work until you do." So it's important for us to understand, first and foremost, that work is something that God wants us to be doing. At the very beginning of creation, we see it right away that God expects us to be working. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 here. And I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Word of God says this. It says, "The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." See, Genesis 2:15 tells us that God put Adam and Eve into the garden. Why? To work. He put them in there with a job to do. And he gave them that job and had a full expectation that it was going to get done. Expected that it was going to get done. See, work is fundamentally tied to our identity as image bearers of God. Now, let me stop here for a minute because I just threw out a really big concept in a very short number of words. What I said was that work is fundamentally tied to our identity as image bearers of God. When we talk about the creation of man, we are created in whose image? The Word of God tells us that we were created in God's image and in His likeness. Amen? When we see God, if we go way back to the beginning and we talk Genesis 1:1, at the very beginning, what's the first thing that we see God doing? Working! First thing that we see God doing is looking around at nothing and saying, I got some work to do because there ought to be something here. The first thing we see God doing is creating or working, as I'm terming it. Amen? So understand that God, in and of Himself, God's always busy. We don't serve a God that just kind of sits there. You ever thought, what would it look like if God just sat on the throne one day and said, "I think I'm going to take today off, and I'm just going to let them see what happens today, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to take a day off." Has God ever done that? He doesn't take a day off. He is always busy working for His children. Always. So that's why I say the concept of working, is fundamentally tied to our identity as image bearers. We carry God's image, His likeness, everywhere we go. He works, and He created us to work. Amen? Paul says this in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, and again, this is the ESV. Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." Now that seems harsh, doesn't it? That's a very straight and to the point type answer there. The reason or the idea that God intends us to be working is why Paul can make this statement. It's not just an idea of some social preference. Well, it would be better if people work, you know, that's not it. Paul is tying into the idea that us being active and working is what we are called and intended to do. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Now, I want to very quickly make a statement. Paul is not talking about people who are physically unable to work. Amen? There are people that are physically or for whatever other reason, and we could talk about emotionally, intellectually, all these various things. There are people that for one reason or another are prevented from having a physical job. That's not what Paul's talking about. Amen? That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is also not talking about people that can't find a job. Anybody ever been unemployed over a period of time in your life? Me and CH are the only ones that held up a hand. Man, I have been unemployed. I kept eating. I know that surprises everybody here that I didn't miss any meals. That's also not what Paul is talking about, amen? Paul is talking about people who make a reasoned choice to say, I ain't doing nothing. Okay? That's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about people who have no desire to work, who want to do nothing. God made us to work, and that is what we should be doing. Working is a spiritual endeavor because it is directly related to the very fabric of our being as an image bearer of God. Amen? So here's a question. If God intends us to be working, we have to ask a question. What's my calling? Has anybody ever asked that question? Usually we see young people ask the question kind of as we get towards the end of high school. You start people like, and nobody says it this way. They don't say, what is my calling? Nobody says it this way. What do they say? What do I want to be when I grow up? What do I want to be when I grow up? And intrinsically what they're asking is, what is this idea or something that I would like to do? Amen? Another word that we could use is we could say, what is or should be my vocation? Vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin word vocatio. And it has that idea of calling, of something that we are intended and designed and created to do. It's the idea that we were created with a purpose in mind. From a Christian perspective, we believe, part of the Christian worldview, is that God created each and every one of us with something to do. Amen? And I promise you, I know for a fact that God has something for each and every one of you to do. You know how I know that? Because you're still here. If God was done with you, you wouldn't be here anymore. When you have done everything that God has for you to do, guess what? You go on to your reward, praise God. So I know for a fact God has something for every single one of us to do. And intrinsically, we look for this opportunity to combine what we're called to do, on the one hand, with what we can make money at, right? We look and we try to say, well, I feel called to do this. Let's go try to make some money at it. Because, you know, logically, it seems like if I can both do what God called me to do and make money at it at the same time, that'd be the easiest way to go about it, wouldn't it? And we look for these opportunities to do that. I remember another a couple of months ago I was talking to somebody and they were talking to me about the challenges of being a bivocational pastor. They were talking to me about the challenges of being a bivocational pastor. And I said, let me explain it to you this way. I work to eat. I live to preach. I work to eat, but I live to preach the Word of God. See, at some point we have to understand that while it's ideal if you can get your calling and your work to coincide, for some of us, that may not always be possible, amen? There's many of us that will work a job that may not coincide with what we are called by God to do. And that's okay. And if that describes you this morning, I want you to understand going to work and working is still a wonderful thing that we should be proud of, because it's part of what God intends for us. Now let's look for an example from the Word of God. Amen? Because we said that sometimes what you are doing, work, and what you're called to do may not coincide. Amen? Let's turn to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Luke 3, 10 through 14. And as we read through this here, verse 10, it says, "And the crowds asked him, 'What then shall we do?'" What then shall we do? Now, a little bit of context here. The him that we're talking about is John the Baptist. John the Baptist. So John answers and he says, he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than you are authorized to do.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages.'" See, here in these verses, we see a statement by John the Baptist to some people about how they're supposed to carry out their vocation or their jobs. Now, let's talk about John the Baptist for just a minute. What was the job? Very careful. What was the job of John the Baptist? What was his job? What did he make money at? We'll get to his calling in a minute. He wasn't a tax collector. He has fished at some points in time. At this point in time, John is a professional bum. At this point in time, John the Baptist is a professional bum. What is his calling? What is his calling now? Y'all said it earlier when we asked Job. What was the calling of John the Baptist? To prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any meaningful overlap between his job and his calling? He was free to do it. He had a job that left him open to do the things that God had called him to do. That's about it. Yes, amen. We could use the other example, the other primary example in the Word of God, Paul. What was Paul's calling? I would argue to build and oversee and disciple churches. We could argue a little bit. Paul had a lot going on, but form churches, oversee churches, disciple churches. That was his calling. What was his job? He was a tent maker. Do you figure there was a lot of need for his tent-making skills in discipling churches? They didn't really overlap at all. So we see examples in Scripture of men of God for whom their calling, as wonderful as it is, has absolutely nothing to do with their job or with their work. Amen? When we see John here, he's not making much to live on. He lives on wild honey and locusts. For those of you that may wonder, locusts is about like a grasshopper. So he's eating bugs and wild honey. And you got to figure, Word of God doesn't tell us this, but anybody ever tried to go take honey from a nest? It's not like falling off a log. It hurts. You got to work. work at it. You've got to be motivated to get it. Because they ain't happy to give it up. John's making a whole life out of bugs and wild honey. He wears camel's hair for clothes. And he sleeps outside in the wilderness, in the elements. But his calling is to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read in these verses, we see people to start coming and talking to John after a particularly fiery sermon. And they're talking, they're people that would work in jobs that most of society would frown upon. You've got the tax collector, who at this point in time was not like we would talk the tax man today. The tax collector in Roman days was basically a legalized robber. And you see the soldier, who from a religious perspective was using the might of arms to forcefully occupy the land that God had given to his people. These are the people that are talking to John. And while John gives them an answer, John is basically giving them an answer that it is important for us to hear today. And that's what I was saying just a little bit ago. Your job may not be your calling. Your job may not be your calling. Now, your job is important. And I don't want anybody to leave and say, you know what? Pastor Jeff said I should look for my calling and I quit. Please don't do that. Your job is important. It's important. But just because somebody is a tax collector, that does not mean that your calling is necessarily to be a tax collector. Just because you're a soldier in the Roman army doesn't mean that your calling is to be a soldier. Or just because you work in IT, or you work in sales, or you work for the bank, or you're a mechanic, or whatever and wherever it might be that you do, whatever it is that we do for work, that may not be your calling. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So the first thing that we need to do is to discern, what is our calling? What is the thing that God has called you to do? What special gifts or talents do you have that glorify God? You may be visiting people who are sick. That's a calling. Let me tell you something. There are people who are called to go visit folks in the hospital. And that's what they do. They go and visit somebody and have prayer and lift people up when they're really having a tough time. That's a calling. Haven't seen anybody turn it into a job yet, but it's a calling. You may be helping take care of the church building or any number of things, but make sure, while we talk about the importance of a job, make sure that we also take some time to look for our calling. Amen? Now, the next thing that I want us to understand is that your job should be an extension of your faith. Your job should be an extension of your faith. I said earlier this morning that your job may not be your calling. And while it's important for us to know that God has called us to a work, a call that may not coincide with our job, it's also important to know that God expects us to show the light of Jesus Christ while we are at our job. Amen? Your calling may be different from your job, but our Father expects us to show the light of Jesus Christ while we are at our job. See, that's what John the Baptist was getting at in Luke 3 when he told the tax collector, listen, if you're a tax collector, collect the money, but don't collect more than you're supposed to. If you're a soldier, be a soldier, but don't go out there trying to hold people up for money and you know, rule by fear. Don't do those things. He's trying to tell people that they should be consistent with the Word of God, even in their day-to-day job. If you're a person of faith, be consistent with that faith, whether you are at work or at home. Be the same person that you have been called to be. Be the same person. It never, ever ceases to amaze me. I see people sometimes, you know, I run into people sometimes out at the grocery store, at the restaurant, whatever the case may be, right? And you see people in church and it's always the same. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. God bless you. Got that smile. Everybody got the church smile. Y'all all have one. Everybody has that church smile. You see somebody outside of church when they ain't expecting to see the pastor. And you just kind of come up to somebody. Hey, it's good to see you. Good to run into you. And they always have this kind of, like it takes them a second. Make sure where I am and what I'm doing. Y'all brush up, straighten up. It's the pastor. Well, why? Should we be living a life differently when we walk out this door than what we are when we're inside God's house? No. And I would hope that no matter where I am and what I'm doing, if you run into me, I should be living a life that I'm proud for you to see me. Good to see you. Amen. We should live that life and live it that way. We said that our work should be an extension of our faith. And that requires kind of a shift in thinking. So I want to take you back for just a minute. And I promise I'm not going to get too technical for too long. But I want to take you back to Genesis for just a minute. Genesis 2 and 15. This is at the very beginning. And I used this verse to prove the point that God intends for us to work. Amen. God intends for us to work. We said the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. So I want to take a minute just to dig here, okay? And these are the things that I find interesting, so bear with me for just a second. When we look at this word, work, right here, when it says that we are to work, I went through, these are the things that I do for fun. So the word work here is the Hebrew word avad. That's what it says right there. I know all of you could read it, but that's the Hebrew word avad. And as we look, we see things like to serve, to work, to act, to work. And it says cultivate, kind of like, you know, tilling the ground, worker, to be tilled. But down here at the bottom, the single largest use of the word avad in all of Scripture, the single largest use of this word means to worship. It means specifically to worship God through service. We see this word used all through the Old Testament in reference to the priests in the temple. And there was an expectation that for the Levitical priests, when they came to work to do their day-to-day job, just to show up to work, if you were the priest sweeping the floor, you are avad. You are worshiping the Lord through your service. We see this idea all through the Old Testament with this Hebrew word avad, meaning to worship God through one's acts of service. It's the same word used there in Genesis 2:15 that says God put them in the garden to work it. Was there anything going on in the garden that looked like worship as we would consider it today? Think in the church realm. You know, were they preaching sermon? Were they visiting the sick? They weren't doing anything that we would look at and consider, quote unquote, church work or worship work. Okay? But this idea of worshiping God through service, what it meant was this. When you are doing what God has called you to do, give it your all. Give it to God and let your joyful act of doing your job be an act of worship to God. That's what that idea or that word means. It means to let one's work serve as a worship of God. Let it serve as a worship of God. See, while it may not be that your calling and your work coincide, your job can be a form of worship to God if you view it through that lens. Dedicate your vocation or your work to God, and it doesn't matter what it is, it can be a worship that is lifted up before our Savior. See, that's what Paul's talking about in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." Think about working for God, not working for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You're serving the Lord Christ. See, we have a tendency as we talk about our jobs, as we talk about our work, we have a tendency to focus on the job. And God knows I'm guilty of it. About every Sunday night, about 8 o'clock, I do what? Oh, I got to go back to work tomorrow. Happens about 8 o'clock. I mean, clockwork. Oh, I got to go back to work. But when we take that idea of Colossians, when we take that Hebrew word avad and say, you know what? I'm not going to work just to punch the clock and make my boss happy. I'm not doing that. This week, I'm going to go to work, and God, let the work that I do, let the quality of work that I do, let the accuracy or the speed or the craftsmanship or whatever the things that matter in our job, let those speak of you. And all of a sudden, when I think about it that way, it's like, you know what? This is going to be a good week. Right? I get to go to work. I get to go and worship my God by giving myself 110% to those activities that will give Him glory and bring Him praise. Wow. You look at it. You think about that job and that avad. Worshiping God through service. Worshiping God through our work.